Morning and welcome everybody to the 29th of March Aries Bifold user group call. We're glad to have everybody here. First want to note the antitrust policy and the Hyperledger Code of Conduct. So we're trying to make a good and friendly space for everybody. So just keep that in mind. First want to welcome everybody. If there's anybody new would be interested from hearing from you. Anybody want to introduce themselves? Awesome. Well, we're glad to have everybody here. Any announcements or work updates that we should go over? I don't see Timo or any of the other AFJ folks, so I think we should probably jump into our agenda for today. On board for today, have two major things currently planned on the agenda. One being some of the work and stuff that BCGov has been working on for a bifold framework or library, and so discussion around that, and then some stuff, some discussion on the state management that we're currently utilizing in Bifold. Are there other topics that we would like to address or discuss in today's agenda? Awesome. Well, I will turn the time over to you, Clesio. Take it away.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, everyone. Okay, so the main point is how can we have Bifold as an upstream project that enables other products to be built from. So I see it right now, Bifold, maybe initially the thought was that it's a product, it's a wallet, it's an app, it's a thing. And now I'm proposing, or I think the direction that we're already changing is to go towards more of a framework of a library, right? The advantage, the reason that I'm calling more of a framework rather than a library is, I don't know if there's any formal definition of framework, but for me, framework is what takes over the flow of the system, as opposed to a library where the developer has an option to use that any way they want. A framework is a little bit more opinionated about it. It introduces points where code can be customized, extended, overriding, but its primary is still in charge of the main flow of the navigation of the system and so on. That's where I'm going for it. I don't know if anybody agree or disagree with that, or if there is any comments about that.
So I have a question. Oh, sorry.
Take it away.
So you mentioned like a transition away from an actual app to more of a framework. Right. Can you say more about that? And what do you anticipate being missing from the new vision that you're talking about?
So I think Bifold is probably going to turn into the default settings of the framework. When you put them together out of the box, it turns out that it's Bifold. The look and feel, the navigation, the defaults, everything, it's Bifold. Bifold as a product, it still can still exist. Can I share my screen?
Yes.
Okay. I had prepared kind of a was just sketching, doing a little bit of drawing about it. So there's Ares React Native library, which is now bifold. We call it bifold. But there is the library here that could be the Ares React Native. Over here, if I can type. Ares React Native that where the bifold framework, what I'm calling bifold framework, again, the name, it's up for conversation how we want to call it, but I'm just following up with the same name. It can be Ares React Native framework and then bifold being the product. And then the main difference is when you instantiate is some sort of usually a framework comes with some sort of SDK that allows developers to bootstrap their project with the default settings and so on. So if, when you bootstrap a project, you ended up with the bifold product as your starting point. And then from there, you customize, you extend, you override configuration to turn into the wallet that you want. One of the things that we could ended up having in BC, Ontario, and Quebec, as we are working in our own wallet, we could potentially maybe opinionate a little bit and have some maybe pan-Canadian here wallet framework. That would be how we opinionate it, say that, well, maybe in Canada, we want that to be the default navigation look and feel. Or some other features that we want introduces that we want to be common across all jurisdictions, you'd be kind of a, okay, we introduce here. But right now we're not even talking about that one. It's just like really down the road, a possibility, but we're really gonna be leveraging bifold. So bifold as a product is to exist. And I still think it's worthwhile pushing forward. And I think we're even trying to get bifold released and published to a store as a product. And that would be the open source product that comes from the kind of a default set is from that framework. Does that make sense?
It does. There's a little bit of nuance here that I would love to sort of talk about. Okay. And this affects how or where future work actually lands. There's of course always a natural tension between the what's common in an open source project and then what the custom bits are for whoever's deploying it, right? And so that always exists. And that's not a bad thing that it exists. It's a good thing. But I think if I could say what you said a little bit differently without using the words framework, what I would say is that there are changes you could make to bifold that would allow for easier overlays on top of it for the customizations necessary for a particular deployment. That would then make it easier to incorporate the new changes that underlie it, you know, because it's not because of the architecture. And that, I think that means the same thing. You're still nodding either because you understand or you agree. I don't know which, but I think that means the same thing, but I think there's some subtle implications, at least in my mind, about what that means. The word framework, and maybe I'm just stuck on the word here. The word framework kind of implies to me that bifold by itself is incomplete without extra stuff you have to add on the end. And whereas if we talk about making bifold easier to overlay, it means that it's all whole by itself, but then can be customized. And I'm heavily into the ability to customize it. The thing that I'm nervous about, the former issue, is that the bifold project started partially out of a desire to cut through the creation of yet another tool that you could use to make a mobile app and actually just make a mobile app, right? So that we didn't we actually had something in the community that was already there and functional just as it was and didn't require, you know, someone to take the framework and make an app out of it. I mean, most web frameworks, for example, don't do much. Now, you could you know, they don't have very many built-in routes. Some of them might come in with like an OpenID endpoint or, you know, other sorts of auth stuff, but it's really pretty thin. And you could maybe equate that with the credential support inside of Bifold, but with desires to support generally open, you know, protocols like basic message or, you know, other sorts of stuff like that, I think it makes more sense. You know, it seems to exceed what might be contained inside of a framework. And so maybe I'm just stuck on words here, but that's the thoughts that I had, is that I'm nervous about Bifold changing to be an incomplete thing instead of something that can be easily overlaid. And I'm totally into the easily overlaid plan. I think that's an excellent goal. Okay.
That's a very interesting point. And I think that's why I call both Bifold here as a framework as a product. It just means that the product and the framework, they are the same thing. They go hand in hand. And I know there has been some conversations on how to break it down, multiple repositories and so on. I would start with not breaking apart. I think to your point, to keep Bifold intact and complete and very close to that framework or to that core, whatever you want to call it, that enable that customizations. And we're not talking like a lot of customizations. If you want, I can show some. I have some notes here of what I did to turn this into a sort of a framework or a core that is more easily extendable. Is I'm still running into some issues with that component's alias. Even though I've introducing React Native Bob building is a building tool for compiling, transpiling all the TypeScript to JavaScript to CommonJS and some other components, and that package that up and make it easy to publish. It's part of the React Native kind of a ecosystem. Optionally, I renamed from app to SRC. That's just again, just to keep consistency. And then I've moved everything that is Bifold apps related to Bifold app. And everything is mainly here, the Android folder, the iOS folder, the app.json, app.txt, and index.js. So it's not a lot of things that goes into that Bifold app folder. This is the reorg that was necessary to just enable that piece of allowing the Bifold to be transpiled and being published as a module, as a library. Go ahead.
Are you sharing the code? Because I think you're still on the browser. Oh,
sorry. Good call.
Good catch, James.
I was sharing just my notes. Can you see my screen now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so my notes is I just created kind of a script because the way that I work on, I check out a fresh copy and then just keep track of all the refactoring steps that was required to get it working, get it going. So there was the ones that was just talking about.
Got it.
So I'm able to replicate those reorging in a fairly straightforward way because I didn't want to do all the steps. And then I now I'm stuck trying to catch up with the latest update. So I just create a script that makes that easy for me. So in essence, we still have Bifold. I have Bifold app here as a sub-module inside React Native. This could potentially graduate. I would advocate that for easy of development, it actually stays within the same folder structure. And one of the things that I've introduced was there's two new context provider, one that I call a theme provider and the other one that I call a configuration provider. Again, debatable here if they can be the same. Whether we want to, the only question is whether we want to support theme configuration dynamically on the fly, where the user could have an option to change there to be like, I don't know, the different themes for the product. And a configuration provider is really a way, easy way using React Native and React abstraction and facilities to allow for some customizations. And what I really done here on the on the index of the prod, the index file. That's localization. Where to go? That one. I started by just exporting what for us we need for what we say BC wallet, as well as what bifold needed. So those are the things that I needed right now. I don't necessarily think this is the best way to export. I think we can probably think a little bit more how to, if we're going to export everything as a flat list of components, or if we're going to have namespaces and things like that. I think that's probably a better way. This is just a easy way to get it easy demonstrated. And from here, I'm really looking from a developer side point of view. I can work on bifold, and I can show I'm going to start things up here. I can show that I can work on bifold and my own wallet in parallel. For us right now, we are keeping in mind both products at the same time when we make a change to make the look and feel consistent on both bifold as well as into our own product. So we do have an option, and we can work in a very kind of developer-centric way on how to make those changes. So I can apply those changes, see that in a hot code change, and see that changes on the fly showing up in the app, and I can debug, can troubleshoot and see if that's working or not working. Does that make sense, Sam? It's a little bit.
It does, and I your explanation has alleviated a lot of my concerns. I think my sort of remaining concern is not a code one so much as it's a cultural one. And what I mean is that it's easy when you have the ability to lay something on top of the standard code in the repository to do that instead of seeking consensus and pushing code into the common elements that people use. For example, updating the default bifold app with some new thing that you think might be valuable instead of updating your own, overlay that you stick on top of it, or your own use of the framework. And I think it's easy for an abstraction layer to become stagnant or for things to diverge substantially. And the only difference between substantial divergence and minimal divergence is the cultural operation of the folks organizing and maintaining and building the code, right? And so if there is an agreement within the group that we want to push as much as possible towards the common, which I think is ultimately the healthiest thing for the promotion of the community and everything else, then that works. And what that looks like in practice is someone saying, hey, like, this looks really good because they showed a demo. Like, is there, is this something that we could work on getting back into the batteries included bifold app, right? That's the common element that we're all using, because that would help that to work. And it would promote code moving in that direction. So it's more of a conversations about PR's issue, both within teams and within the larger community, than it is about anything sort of technical. And when I see something happen like this, I worry about the effect it will have on sort of the common elements that we're hoping to build. Sometimes it's easy to be like, oh, well, you have a different opinion, let's just do this differently, instead of actually having an engaging discussion about why some change is being made or why someone is doing something different. Because then I think we all end up losing as a community if we're not willing to at least begin those conversations. Not that we all have to agree on everything, that's not the point.
Right.
But that we should seek to agree on as much as possible. And that is work. And so sometimes that ends up not being sort of the common path. Anyway, that was a little wordy, but my main concern there is again, not one of code, but of culture. In helping to build these common things,
I think that's a risk. I agree with you, and I think the flip side of that is that, okay, bifold Now I can fork, which makes those contributions and the fork and forget really easier. And now the contributions upstream, now it's harder. That's one of the things that we've encountered when you fork bifold and start to make changes. Now retrofitting or crafting your PR back to bifold, and now it becomes an extra work. So it delays introducing more code into bifold. I can talk about all the other parties involved into using bifold, but I can tell that from BC we're very much committed to bifold the core to get that one working. One of the main functionality, for instance, that we think that we want to introduce is to get a BC credential potentially in the future right into the app. And that'll be basic, just added extra features where we don't think bifold as a generic product might be interested on that, but we're introducing that XM banner, say get your BC wallet, get your BC identity into your wallet, right? And there's some customizations there in the sense that we do have already a kind of a holder app for our current identity, and we're trying to start to move towards verified credential, but initially we're going to have both, or for the foreseeable future we're going to have both, so we're going to have to figure that out. But there, I also see that once that one is done, maybe other provinces may get very interested about it and how it's done, and maybe trying to replicate, and we're able to share that code if you want to package it up as another module. And in a better scenario, it'd be like, well, maybe bifold do want to provide some sort of discovery of what those core government issue credentials are available, and then we can start moving things upstream a little bit once we have a good diversity. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I think you described what's good, which is let's figure out what's common and an approach that works, because the government's not going to be the only folks that want to sort of have some sort of bootstrapping or initial process. So the ability to sort of design, like, what might this look like if we supported this generically, and what's the easiest way that we can allow people to sort of incorporate those startup steps without deviating from the common code as much as possible, right? And I think that way we get a rising tide raises all ships type of a scenario.
Yeah.
As part of that.
Yeah, because right now we are using kind of a patching approach where we in part of a build process to keep with that philosophy and commitment to bifold core, we create a patch set on how to transform that into the product that we want. But that patching management has become a little bit, as it grows, it becomes a little bit time consuming and problematic. So introducing things like a configuration context and a theme provider context would enable that easy transaction there.
I'm completely sympathetic to both the problem, and I also desire solutions to ease contributions. There's likely more than just one strategy, and I'm a fan of exploring and understanding all of them. Again, this is mostly a cultural issue of the bifold community, as we sort of foster the culture of trying to do things in a way that is going to be there, and that is work. It's mm-hmm. It's easier to not collaborate with folks, but the long-term benefits exist. The closer you're able to push stuff upstream, it also means that you can pull in the upstream changes as well, and you can benefit from the community progress. And so it is work, but the benefits are there. Anyway, I've said enough. I think the conversation's been really good, and I need to stop talking so others can talk.
Yeah, and just to finish that up, so one of the things that we also think there's value in reusing and leveraging would be a whole bunch of accessibility tests and ongoing assess of accessibility and things that are worth reusing as well, security accessibility assessment as well. So we think that if we stay as close as possible to the core, we are going to gain and reuse a lot of those artifacts. Any other question?
So I'll jump in with my comments here. I think from what you've shown, I'm actually I really like what you've shown here actually so far. From a from a code perspective, I think I really like the theme provider and the configuration context provider that you put in, because mm-hmm. that gives a clean way to actually distribute that information down. So from my point of view, from a code perspective, I think this is hitting in a it's a good first step, at least. Like, we may want to do more, but I think this is a good good first step, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And this is just to show you that I can, with the setup of Metro and so on, I can make a change to, I can work in React Native, the main core, while still showing my own final product and see that hot swap going on. So that would enable us to easily see our changes in the way that we want, but yet contributing and make the changes to the core. So I really wanted to make sure that the development experience would both benefit from the culture, to enable that culture of, okay, modify the core, contribution to the core, while you enables you to customize and provide your own extension points.
Awesome. Other questions or comments for Clesio? What do you see as the next steps here?
So the next steps is I'll produce a PR, and this PR will have a significant amount of change, and it's a lot of file reworking, but it's not really code changes. Some of the code changes that needed to be done, let me just open up here, was in regards to introducing kind of that theme provider and make sure that we use the theme as opposed to directly into that dependency. So anyway, we can go into more details later on, but it's about removing that import from the theme, from the theme artifacts, to use a theme context. And from there, I've made a few changes to make sure that all the theme is applied by using the context and not directly from as a dependency at build time. That's the changes that I just move a few codes around to introduce that theme, and that was the big bulk of the changes.
Awesome.
So you're probably gonna see a PR. The only question is, I'm not quite sure how, if Alias, if you still, what is the main motivation to support and maintain Alias? I can see the ease of use of it when you're building a huge app or a huge application. It does make is, but I've encountered some issues with working with React Native and packaging it up and using Alias. I'm not entirely sure if that's part of Metro, the bundler, when he rebundles things, it does look into the TypeScript code. And maybe when you compile, the code is not a problem. But Metro, when it's bundling on the fly, it does take some insights from the TypeScript source code. And that's where I'm starting to have problems, where components and those alias cannot be found.
We originally did an alias there just for ease of use. So I would say if it's giving us issues, then I would remove it from my point of view, at least.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So those would be the changes would be a reorg, kind of the app things. The app will move into SRC to keep up and kind of just a standard, creating a bifold app folder where the Android and iOS folder boilerplate it goes to, introducing of the theme context and the configuration context.
Awesome. Look forward to the PR.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. One idea that I wanted to put into your head before I forget it is one of the things we've done with themes and such before is you can put a set state function in your context provider, which means that you could have a methodology for being able to set or change theme types. So you could have a light mode and a dark mode, and then you can just set the state from anywhere in the app. And then that changes, that allows the user to change the theme. So that'd be something we could do there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I have theme different from configuration. So you could do that and automatically the app just dynamically kind of redraw into their own theme.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Klausio. This is awesome to see the work you've done here, and look forward to the PR.
Okay, thank you.
With that, Akif, we wanted to talk some about the state management that's behind Bifold. You want to kick that off?
Sounds good. Yeah, so this discussion came up because as we start to incorporate more and more interactions into the application, so initially what we did is we've created a sort of centralized context provider that we're calling a store. And we've been packing a lot of like our state into that one reducer. So things like handling onboarding state, which basically captures those initial screens and like whether the user has passed them, whether they've created their PIN. And then we've also started to utilize it more for some of the more global user interface things. So for example, the connection modals and some of the other modals that we use, we decided to kind of capture that loading state globally as opposed to triggering them through each different component so that we could kind of reuse that state. So we created that store to handle that. And then with some of these newer interactions we're trying to add, for example, deleting or filtering credential lists and credentials themselves, I thought that, okay, maybe we'll expand that and maybe add some state for keeping a list of credentials or proof requests or things like that. Now, I understand that the hooks kind of handle that sort of aspect already in terms of being able to provide a list of things, and then you can use the hooks to get the individual sort of pieces that you need. The reason why we are kind of opted to use the sort of context provider within the app is it gives us more fine-tuned control of those interactions. So, you know, without having to wait for asynchronously for the hooks to complete or things like that, we could actually control those interactions sort of within the application. So now that we've started kind of expanding this context provider with more and more pieces, then I thought, okay, does it make sense for us to maybe use something like Redux? And from what I understand, there's a lot of boilerplate involved in setting up Redux, and it's kind of unnecessary, especially now with the ability to use context providers and to provide reducers. So after talking with James online, and kind of like in line with what Klausio is doing, is maybe perhaps what we could do is we start splitting out our state into just different context providers. Some of them are going to just be, you know, one-time things that we set on app startup. Like for example, the theme, there's the onboarding state. And then there's others that are going to change more frequently. And those can kind of be wrapped around the components that really need to use them. They don't need to be wrapped around the entire application, I would say. So I wonder if that's a good approach to maybe thinking about how to handle state. And maybe I can share my screen to kind of show you what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So you guys can see my screen here, right?
Yep.
Okay, so essentially this is what we have right now. So we have this store that we store a bunch of different things. For example, the onboarding state, we have some connection pending state, and we're thinking about expanding that into the other modals. For example, when you're receiving a credential offer or a proof request, you know, we could just update this state here and then it would display the modal. And then we also have another one for like error managements, and we could do things like toast. Now, as we continue to expand this kind of state beyond these small things, for example, lists and other things, this is kind of becoming a one place. And I don't know if it's a, if it's considered good practice to have constantly changing data in a central store, because from what I understand, it causes the app to re-render when the data changes for anything that's sort of using this data. So kind of the approach that I've been taking is to sort of create new contexts. Let's see if I can. And so here, like, for example, this is our store provider, and I'm starting to look at maybe refactoring. There's a modal provider that simply tracks the state of the loading states for the different modals. There'd be one for air. For example, the onboarding provider is not really required at the, you know, to be wrapped around everything. It's really only needed at the root stack when the user needs it for those screens. And in fact, we can wrap this provider sort of even further deeper into the application to only those screens that need it. We don't even need to wrap it around the root stack. So I just wanted to maybe get some input from the community here as to whether we think this is a good approach, or do we think that this is maybe overkill? And is it making the sort of structure kind of too complicated? So just to go back to what we have right now, we have, let me go back to the app. Here we go. So in app.tsx. So right now we have a single provider, and then we have the agent provider, which passes the agent down. But this is where we're passing things like all the state, and then we use that single reducer to then update that state when we need to. And I guess this would kind of be an alternative to using something like Redux, where that's, I think, a little bit too much for what we need.
That's my take as well in terms of Redux. If I can make one clarification, so the state you're talking about here is state that is not agent or like AFJ specific, right? So you're not talking about connections or credentials. You're talking about user data, or we're at this point in the flow and some other related state management. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I would think, yeah, I would look at it as sort of the sort of applications management, state management. Now, what I've been thinking about doing is expanding that to include things like the credential list. So essentially what would happen is on app startup, we would get the list of the credentials from the hooks. And then that way we sort of have some more fine-tuned control of what we can do with that. For example, filtering or deleting, even though we would still be passing off the actions secondarily or asynchronously to the hooks, because that's what they kind of do. And that's what the framework does, but it happens sort of asynchronously. So we'd have to, right now, what happens is we have to wait for interactions to take place. And in some cases, for example, like let's say I delete a credential, it doesn't actually update the hooks right now. And I know we've talked about this in the past, but you have to kind of refresh the screen in order for you to see that data refreshed, because the hooks are not updated. So there's things like that, right?
I could see how not having it be deleted immediately, that would be really frustrating.
It gets deleted. It's just that the hooks aren't updated, so the presentation doesn't get updated, right?
100%. And I think from my perspective, that's mostly an addition that could and potentially should be made to the React hooks package, because in theory we just need to listen for the correct events from AFJ to trigger those updates, right? So from my perspective, I'm happy to help resolve that problem and other ones, if there's ones related to the React hooks, you know?
Yeah. I guess so. There, we could, I guess the end goal is that we should be working towards getting the hooks up to date. I was just thinking, I guess as a temporary stopgap, would it be fine if we were okay to add just additional context providers for now, you know, without having to go through and add some third-party libraries? Or do you think that our focus would be better put in updating the hooks?
I think the hooks are a nice intermediary or abstraction on AFJ. So like, I think it's a good effort to update those. I don't think that necessarily excludes us from doing other things with the state management here that you're talking about, if that makes sense.
Okay. Clasio, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I think the same things along what James was saying. If it is application state settings, mostly what I've, when you showed that was like Booleans, remember where we are and basic data structure, then it makes sense to have some sort of kind of a generic storage. I'm not too sure about having too many contexts either. There is a fine line in React of, yes, it's nice to have context, but there's also a warning, don't have too many contexts, because your stack and your state manager actually becomes too complex to handle.
Exactly.
I agree with James that when you mentioned list of credentials or list of events, maybe that'll better be served by the hooks or AFJ. Something is missing on those fronts that is not quite working, because in creating a secondary state for those would lead to more creating data now out of sync, and now things get out of sync. So yep. I think it's good. We'll need something for basic state management and properties, just to remember, I accept my terms and contract, where screen I'm at potentially, or if there is a workflow that is multi-stage, I may need to remember where in that state I am. Yeah. But I'll agree with James that for those specific cases that has to do with dealing with the data and credentials and events and so on, maybe folks in the React hooks.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, like I said, I don't think we should, we probably don't want to also completely throw everything into one place either, right? With the context providers. Now, from what I've read online, is React 18 is coming out with selectors. And I don't know if it's 18, but they're coming out with selectors similar to what you get with Redux, which means that you can, I think you only get updates for the state that you're interested in, as opposed to right now, if you wrap the app in a context provider, anytime the data changes, anything that's reading that state will be re-rendered, from what I understand. And we don't need to prematurely optimize or anything like that. It's not like our app is really big or complex, but it's just more, if we want to like follow good practices from the start, then maybe that's something that, if we were to ever go with this approach, I feel like that would be the right thing to do, is to split out the context providers into the right areas and have them wrap the right components, so where they're needed, as opposed to throwing it at the top of the app and then.
So I think I agree with Clasio that I think it is a fine line to walk, but I think that one of the reasons I do see a benefit of having it be multiple context providers where they're needed is that having it all in one place prevents some of the modularity that we're looking for, based off of our previous conversation on the framework side, that could make things more complicated as we start mixing state all in one place versus having separate state for individual different components or sections, if you will.
Yeah. So anyways, I just wanted to kind of generate the discussion on that. So I think the best approach right now is, this was a good experiment, but maybe maybe our time is best put into updating the hooks. I think that's where we're going to get most bang for our buck on that. And so maybe we can shift the focus towards that.
That makes sense to me. And we can revisit some of the context providers here when it makes sense to do so.
Sounds good. I think that's it for me. Yeah.
Awesome. Klesi, you still have your hand up. Was that from previous? Awesome. Well, thank you for leading that discussion, Akif. I think what we have left on our agenda here is time for Q&A with maintainers or any other discussion topics in our last 10 minutes here that we want to talk about.
I guess maybe we could get an update on a couple things with AFJ. So are we looking at the stable release coming out soon, or?
I would hope so. I am I'm not 100% sure where the state of that is at the moment. I plan on asking that exact same question in this coming AFJ call on Thursday. So I don't have, unfortunately, a better answer there for you on that.
Okay. Yeah, we can get an update on Thursday then. And then the only other thing that we're kind of anticipating is for revocation notification handling. So I know that that's coming in soon, but so that's one of the features that we're working on, is to be able to update credentials that get revoked. So
definitely. That's something that is currently on my plate. We need to have some discussion in the Aries working group and one final update to the RFC PR. So that's currently on me. So that should be coming in pretty soon, I believe.
Okay.
In terms of the UI and building that out, we'd be happy to help with contributions or other bits there. I'm glad you brought it up, because I was actually going to ask where that had gotten to, because that was something that we would want to contribute if it wasn't already in progress. So
at the moment right now, we can get the revocation status of a credential during the proof request. So what we do is we present the different claims that are revoked at that point. So during the proof request, but there is a feature where we want to be able to mark the credentials as revoked when we get that notification. So we could hack it in, or we could wait for... The correct thing, which is we wait for the notification handling, and that's where we kind of mark it. Right now, we were thinking, okay, if we don't have that, we can do it at the present proof and then sort of handle it locally where we mark that credential as revoked. But I don't think that's a good long-term strategy.
So, I think I would wait for the notification handling. One of the troubles with that stopgap as well is that the proof request is requesting a specific time of when requesting proof of whether or not a credential is revoked at a specific point in time. And so it doesn't actually necessarily give you information of when a credential was revoked or if it's revoked now, yeah. For instance, you know? So that is another challenge with that approach, you know?
Exactly. Okay, so I guess we can wait on those, and then we'll probably get some updates this week on that.
Awesome.
And I'm happy to shift the focus towards helping out with the hooks too, because I don't want to throw everything at you guys. You guys obviously got a lot going on, so we can help there too.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing there is knowing that there are problems and which problems need to be solved. BCGov has been tackling a lot of the contributions lately, and I think we're in a position to help more. So if there's other ones other than just the deletion portion, let me know, I guess.
Sounds good.
I don't know if we have time to talk about it, but there's one contribution from Ontario that PR about delaying the agent initialization. I don't know if anybody has if we have even time to talk about it. Does that sound like a good thing? Does anybody know a little bit more about it?
So from what I know, like at least from a conceptual point of view here, if we want to use the user's PIN to encrypt the Indy wallet, we do need to delay the agent initialization until they've entered the PIN in for the first time, if that makes sense. So from a high level point of view, it makes sense to me, I think.
Okay.
Was there other questions or things you wanted to address on this?
No, I think there was. I just said want to make sure that we were okay with this approach of delaying the initialization. If there was any side effect that we're not aware of, that sounds good. The only question, maybe Akif, you can talk a little bit. We've run into situations when doing unit testing and different versions of Node produces different format of date, which is quite annoying. If you look into that pull request, you're gonna see example that the test snapshot produces one date that has a dot, the other one has a comma. And it's, I don't know if anybody has came across this situation has a, I think resolution.
I think we just recommend that everybody use the latest LTS Node 16 because it seems like there was a version in between the 16 where they had changed the date format to include a period and that messed up all the tests. So I think what we came to the resolution that I think we just should notify people to use the latest LTS version 16.
That would make sense to me. This specific problem also could be worthwhile sending Timo a quick message because he's done a lot of stuff in this kind of area. So he may have insight there.
Cool.
Awesome. Really good questions and discussion today. Thank you, Klesio and Akif and everybody else who contributed and helped make this an awesome discussion and call. I think we're heading in a good direction and appreciate all the effort and time. Thank you, everybody, for coming today, and we will talk next time. Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Thanks, James. Thank you, everyone.
Nice work, everybody.